Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. And now, during our Veterans Day sale, save 40% on the Sleep Number Special Edition smart bed. Limited time. To find a store near you, visit sleepnumber.com.
Got questions? O'Reilly Auto Parts has answers. Need a pro you can trust? We've got that too. No matter what you need, our professional parts people have the training and expertise to help you do things right. Deep automotive knowledge. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Welcome to the Songwriter Connection, the podcast that delves deep into the art and heart of songwriting. Each week, we gather around the dining room table to uncover the stories behind the songs. We invite you to join us on a journey to the creative minds of the songwriters who shape the melodies of our lives. From Nashville, Tennessee, here's your host, Dave Lenihan.
Oh, and I've got to modestly say, the award-winning Songwriter Connection podcast, the Elite Music Awards, said that we are the podcast of the year, and we're proud of that. Thank you so much for making it happen.
Applause for that, everybody. Also, yeah, congratulations.
Also, I should tell you, we're now at the 1 million worldwide stream.
Yes.
Woo-hoo. Oh, man. So thrilled. Thank you so much for that. That's due to you, spreading the word and saying you like it and commenting and liking and subscribing. We certainly do appreciate you very much. In fact, this Saturday, because this is today, as we, if you're listening as we are releasing this podcast, it's Wednesday, September 25th. This Saturday night, our guests today are also going to be performing. We're going to have the 1 million stream party at the Commodore Grill. And we're going to have a lot of these artists that you've heard over the past couple of years on Songwriter Connection performing live. So if you're in Nashville, Commodore Grill in West End, in the Holiday Inn, is where you want to be. That's a great venue for songwriting. It really is. Well, I've got a return guest today, and I'm so thrilled to have Brooklyn Summer back with us today. Brooklyn!
Hi, happy to be here.
Oh my gosh. We're going to talk to Brooklyn. We also have my sometime co-host, Scott Barrier.
Sometimes.
Hi.
Hey.
Barrier!
Good to be here. Good to be back. Yay.
The songwriting savant. We've got Annie, who is Brooklyn's mom. Annie, how are you?
Good. This is a little scary.
I know. Don't be scared. We're just a bunch of, we know it makes it a little extra scary if we got Martin Buchanan, and we're not supposed to be paying any attention to him because he's filming this for a documentary. And Martin is a great guy. He's written with you too, Brooklyn, hasn't he?
And he
shot a video for me on my new song that's out there right now. If you haven't heard it yet, it's called Absalom, and there's an interesting story behind it. And Martin, we're reporting this first day of August. Here in Nashville, and last night we were in the cemetery filming that video, and
that
I can't. I
so
hope you have a chance
cool.
to see it.
Yeah. That is so cool.
Should be out there by now. Oh, I'm spilling water. Okay, all right. So anyway, let's talk about Brooklyn Summer, because today is Brooklyn's 2-year anniversary in Nashville, and so it's kind of like she's 2 years into a 10-year town. But let me tell you, she's way, way ahead of the game, and we're going to talk about it, Brooklyn. Nice to have you back on the show. When you were first here, you were 12.
I was.
and now you're 14. Man. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's flying. And flying.
Amazing, amazing stuff that you have done. And as a matter of fact, you also need to know that tomorrow night, now this would be August 2nd, so we record way in advance, she is headlining her first show in Nashville. How's that for 2 years into a 10-year town? Did you ever think that was possible? Did you?
No.
And you know what's even more surprising? The guy opening for you is a big songwriter and artist in this town.
Yeah.
A guy you've written with, Justin Love.
He's great, yeah.
Isn't that incredible? And so this is a full band show for you?
It is a full band show. It's really great.
Who's all in this band?
We have Derek Brightwell on the bass. We have Andrea Benz on the electric guitar.
She is an amazing guitar player,
she's
Andrea
great.
Benz.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
She's amazing all the way around.
She really is.
Yeah. So we got Jenna Kapitsky on the drums.
And yeah, Jenna's
she's also amazing.
Wow.
They're all great.
What a great band.
Super nice people.
Awesome. I hope you get lots of video of that. Post that. Because I can't be there in person. I'm really
sorry, bro.
Yeah. And in Justin's band before you, Scott Barry will be playing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Justin asked me and Grace Mahar.
Oh, she's wonderful.
They say her love name her. So many different ways.
We got to get Grace on this show.
Yeah, she's
doggone
great.
It, man.
She's so cute.
So, yeah, so we're going to do an acoustic set compared to the full band set.
Oh,
it's
that's
a couple
good.
Guitars and
exciting.
Free. Yeah, it's going to be fun.
It's going to be a really special night because everybody's friends, you know. Mm-hmm. This is everybody you write with, everybody you sang with.
Yeah, it's like the little community right there in the one building.
All my friends.
Radio Sobro's coming.
Awesome.
The owner's coming. Ralston's coming.
Nice.
Oh, my gosh. And I wanted to meet the owners and everything. Ralston's a great guy. Mm-hmm. Radio Sobro, by the way, if you ever want the true sound of Nashville, look it up. And they're streaming everywhere. You just get online radio. And it is all Nashville artists. And I love it. I really love that station. And it's like me. It's genre neutral. It's not one particular genre. It is like all of Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll hear a lot of great
songs. And the cool thing is
songs.
It's only Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
And Nashville
only
locals.
Nashville, right. Yeah. Nashville locals, yeah. So, and you've been on that, haven't you? Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great station. Ralston's such a great guy, so probably.
He really is. You know, not too long ago, I saw you at the Listening Room, and it was a special Sobro, Radio Sobro show. Listening Room is like, what, like Bluebird on steroids.
That was the moon party.
They wish.
That was the, they wish.
They wish.
it's like a Bluebird atmosphere, but a lot more people can fit inside there.
Oh, yeah.
And if you can't get into the Bluebird, which is so hard when you come to Nashville.
It's so popular.
Try the Listening Room.
That's great.
But you, it was Moon Pie sponsored that, right?
Yeah.
I got to throw
moon pies
at people.
I was
going
to say.
I know. We were sitting up in the balcony.
We were too far back. Yeah, we were too far away. We're like, you needed one of those little, like, those cannon things they have.
No, I wanted to throw one at you guys, but I didn't want to, like, accidentally hit a chandelier and then it crashes down on everyone.
And then you have to pay for it. You know, I got you.
Though it would have been an epic moment.
It would have been an epic moment.
It would have gotten me known.
It would definitely do that.
You are getting known anyway, let me tell you.
Yeah.
And just using that as an example, you were with three pro writers in this town. And people with hits. I mean, the guy who wrote Rock in a Hard Place for Bailey Zimmerman.
Yeah.
And you, with all those people, and you just held your own.
Yeah, you did great.
And I was so proud of you. I'm like, I know her. I know her. I'm sitting next to her mom.
Yeah.
You know? Thank you so much.
Yeah, you definitely right up
from
there
the very first song.
Yeah.
The audience was just...
I get a text message, what am I doing on stage with these people? Because they're really awesome.
Well,
and
you played it
all. All signed, and then there's me, like, has it been a mistake?
Oh, it wasn't, though.
No, you're fine. You did just fine with them up there. So
made us
even
all
said
proud.
Some funny things, made the place laugh.
She
great.
Did. Yes, she did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
We're getting better at that.
Yeah, yep. It's great.
You know, I have to tell you, let's start with where you started. You came to Nashville 2 years ago from the L.A. area, right?
Yeah.
Where you were a model and an actress, and you were in movies at a very young age, weren't you?
I was, yeah. I did a lot of modeling and acting as well in L.A., but, you know, I always loved music, and it was always my strong suit.
Mm-hmm.
Acting's great.
Yeah.
Modeling's great, but music is excellent.
It's where the passion lies, right?
It is, yeah.
You know, I'm thinking back on and your 12th birthday, was it?
That's what I was going to bring up is the reason, like, yeah, tell that story.
What did you tell your parents you wanted for your 12th birthday?
You know, for my 12th birthday, I said that for my 12th birthday, I want to move to Nashville because Lance Carpenter told me to.
Lance Carpenter is another great writer. He's an Arkansas native. He wins all those Arkansas CMA awards, but he's written hit songs for Kelsey Ballerini, and he's just a really great guy. And he kind of took you under his wing. Very early.
He did. He's such a great guy. He's super nice. Everyone knows him, really.
He even said, you can do some of my songs.
I did.
Yeah. And like, Annie, you were telling me the other day, and I didn't realize this, to prepare to come to Nashville, you learned 45, and you could barely strum the guitar then. You've come a long way. You really
have.
I'm going to take that as a compliment.
No, oh, absolutely.
That was very much a compliment.
You hung with all those guys at the Listening Room.
Yeah, once again.
Yeah.
Guitar-wise, you were fine.
She practiced a year before we moved to Nashville on a one-hour set.
Wow.
You know, I was already playing in Nashville before we, like, really moved here. That's true. Would just drive us back and forth.
When was the first time? Yeah, when was the first time? How old were you when you first came out to Nashville to check it out?
I was 8 years old.
8 years old? Yeah. I did not know that.
Yeah.
And I was singing on Broadway at 8 years old. With
playing at Tootsies and stuff.
Yeah. So she already had a little bit of experience anyway.
Wow.
She sang at the Whiskey Room with somebody that I don't think is around anymore. It was the Nashville Spotlight.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even remember
who
that was.
And they said, we have one spot left. Does Brooklyn want to do it? And I said, sure. And they said, are you sure that, because you have to fly across the country just to sing for 20 minutes. Mm. And Brooklyn said, let's do it. But there she met somebody in the audience. Who was that?
Tommy Neal,
who will come tomorrow from Kentucky, who introduced her to someone on Music Row.
Wow.
And by... on her 9th birthday, she recorded her first 3 songs on Music Row.
Wow.
On her 10th birthday, she had her first 45-minute set downtown.
Wow.
So it's all about
now, where
the
was
birthdays.
That at?
Huh?
That was at, I think it's called Lonnie's Karaoke, and they shut it down so Brooklyn can do a one-hour set.
Isn't that something?
And they had a bachelor party and
is that
a
Printer's Alley
party.
Maybe?
Yes.
Yeah. Printer's Alley, yeah.
Okay, well, that's very cool.
I remember watching Megan Lindsay singing there, and she had a nice career. She was on The Voice and Steel Magnolias.
That's
and
awesome.
I remember she was singing up there, and her voice was so raw, and I hand her up Paul's.
Brooklyn was singing so fast, and I said, why are you singing so fast? Because I just want to get out of here.
Really?
A little nervous probably, too.
So you love the experience is what you're saying.
Oh, what a great experience.
Is that what you're saying? Is that what you're telling us?
But, such a young age.
Yeah.
Well, you've come so far since then. You really have. And one of the things I think is so cool, and Annie, you left me a big, long message yesterday, and it was great. You said it's the community here in Nashville that's behind you. And it just reminds me that, you know, they say all boats rise with the tide, and you've had so many great mentors and people that were here to help you, right? Yeah.
Not just
Lance Carpenter, but lots of others.
It is the community. In fact, when Brooklyn decided I need to start writing songs that are not from Lance, and I would see her in tears. Oh, it almost makes me tear up. Because she would try so hard, but she would say, but now... now I need good songs, and my songs aren't good.
Oh.
And that's when we met Scott, and we saw him at the Commodore.
At the Commodore, that's correct.
I almost fell over laughing because he was so funny on stage, and his songs were so funny, but they were also really good.
He can rip your heart out when he wants to. He really
Scott,
can.
And we're like...
or make you LOL.
Maybe want to try to write with Brooklyn. And their very first song... was so good. And it was them two on the couch for 3 hours, and they got the best song out.
We'll have to
bridges burn themselves.
Yeah, we'll have to.
Oh, yeah.
We'll have
like
to go back
song.
And look at that one.
Have to look at that one.
But that was a funny night because I remember asking you what kind of music you want to do, and out of your mouth, and I have to paraphrase because I know it's not everywhere, but it's like, I don't want that Disney kid bubblegum crap.
Yeah. No kid stuff. That's right.
That's what she said. No offense to Disney, but that's what she said. I'm quoting. I'm quoting. And I just thought that's really what endeared me to you. I thought, man, this is a funny kid. And I thought, yeah, I think we'll have fun creating some songs together and doing some cool stuff. And
she met Dave because you introduced
Dave.
Well, I remember seeing you. I was running a little songwriter night at a little place around the corner called the 12 Keys. It's not there anymore.
Mm.
But I remember you coming in and playing and just blowing us away. We're like, oh, man, this girl.
Yeah.
How old is she?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That was the best place, and I miss it, and everyone in town misses that.
It was a cool room.
I love the pretzels there.
Oh, yeah, I did too. Absolutely.
Pretzels were
good. Yeah. So you recently had an amazing experience, Brooklyn, and I want you to tell us about it. You got to go to Curb Records and record a new song. And... I just want to hear about the whole experience. What was it like walking in there in this legendary place?
Yeah, I went in there with my co-writer Scott Barry, who's right here, and Michael Jay, who's not right here. But, yeah, we were brought to Curb Records by Michael, and it's such a cool place.
Cool
the person vibe. That was recording, he told us all about it, about people he's worked with, Uh-huh. Song turned out so good. It's awesome.
Yeah, and that's your current single right now, right?
Yeah, it's great.
And so you probably don't mind if we play it.
Not at all.
But tell them a little bit about Michael J., Scott, before we do that.
Well, Michael J.
He's also been on this podcast.
An illustrious career, and that's downplaying it. he's had songs recorded by Celine Dion, Gloria Estefan. Yeah. His big one, where he got his Grammy, was with Martika. They wrote Toy Soldiers.
Yeah.
And
Eminem.
Yep. Eminem redid
it. Yeah. And Eminem redid it. And probably, I can't imagine how much money he made off
of it. I'm sure he bought that house in Nashville.
I'm sure. Yeah, he's floating on cash after that one. So, sitting
and he's
on a
such
pile.
A great guy. You know?
And he's, you wouldn't expect
one of the guys.
That.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about him. He's a stellar human being. Really and is. You always hope that people that are that successful are like have their feet on the ground and are just decent people. He's one of those. So you're like, I'm glad you got all that. You should have gotten all that because he's just a nice guy. He's cool.
You know, and we've played on the round with him a couple of times.
Yeah.
To hear him do Toy Soldiers, and everybody knows that song and they're singing along with him.
It's funny, like watching just the crowd. I like seeing their faces and they're like, wait, Toy Soldiers. And they look him up on their phone.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Step by step.
Another thing about Michael is he's the happiest guy you'll ever meet.
He's a happy guy.
He's always smiling. Mm-hmm. He's
so
always
funny.
Positive.
Yeah.
And he's always the biggest clapper in the room. He's always your biggest fan, no matter who's singing.
Yeah, he's never.
Nice.
I was gonna say he's never lost the kid in him.
No, that's great.
And it comes out. And what I love about him, and this is how we should all be in the music community industry, is like just the first thing that we should do is love music, and it's about the music, nothing else, fame, fortune, anything else. It's just our pure love of music,
exactly.
And that just comes off of him when you're around him. He just loves it. He dances like a little kid, and
like nobody's watching.
Yeah, right. But we're watching, and so he's like he doesn't care, and so so that just being around him is just great that way because it like reinvigorates
it just gives
you
really good vibes.
It does. Doesn't
it makes
it?
You happy and
well,
smile.
And as a parent, there's some people she's comfortable with and some people she's not. Uh-huh. But when she's at Michael's with Scott, they're laughing and he is dancing because I catch it always on video. I mean, I got him hula hooping at Paddle Dogs, and he's like, "I know you're gonna use that for something bad." Like, you know, it's just nice to be around happy people. You know,
I always thought you have a big voice and people are going to hear it. And they're going to get an example of this. And we're resting your voice for tomorrow's big show. So we're going to be playing recorded music that you know, we've agreed to do that. But they need to hear your voice. You've got this range that is absolutely incredible. And I remember saying, you need something that shows off that range. And boy, Michael J. and Scott got the song. Tell us a little bit about the writing of that song and how it came about.
Yeah, Do It Now. It's mainly inspired off. You know, I can't remember.
Well, not waiting.
He writes so many
like
songs.
Cody Johnson.
Yeah, Cody Johnson.
Ah.
That's
Till You Can't, right? Okay.
Yeah. And other songs like that, Martina McBride, you know.
McBride, yeah. Just a bunch of high-belting songs. Just positive songs in general. It's basically about just waiting through your life to do everything you want to do, but you're like, I can just...
Do it now.
Later.
Yeah,
just
putting it off. Don't put it off is the whole theme. Do it now.
Do it now.
Do it. Well, let's give it a listen. Do it now. This is Brooklyn Summer on the Songwriter Connection podcast. This is recorded at Curb Records on Music Row.
Living in the fast lane. Life moving like a jet plane. Moments fly by so fast. Once they're gone, you can't get them back. We all have hopes, we all have dreams. Don't slow down for anything. It's closer than you think. What you want's within your reach. Do it now. Do it now. With every breath you take, make every second count. Have you found someone to touch? Have you left? So much on your plate. You keep saying one day. You're putting things off, and yet You only have so many rain checks. There's always something new to learn round every twist and every turn. Show the world what you can do. Someone might be looking up to you.
And I have to tell you too, there is no auto tune. There is that is just the voice of 14-year-old Brooklyn Summer, and it's absolutely amazing. I love it when you take it up a step like that.
It's
you know?
Fun to do.
Yeah. Isn't that fun to do? First time I heard you do this was at the local, and the, you just brought down the house. Everybody's like, "Whoa!"
So the engineer said, "I haven't heard somebody hit those since I met a little Martina McBride."
Yep.
Yeah, you know.
That was the comparison.
That was the biggest compliment. Wow.
That's a huge compliment.
Wow. It made me feel super good.
Yeah. I bet it did. Yeah. Who are some of your idols growing up? Who did you like to listen to?
You know, when I was younger, I listened to a lot of Adele.
Yeah, well, you know what? She's
that
great.
That comes through. Yeah. That comes through that comes in through. The ranginess.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's amazing.
She's great, but yeah. Then I also loved Leanne Rimes a lot, her older stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And then, yeah, I really like Miranda Lambert, Gretchen Wilson.
Just country with an edge.
Country rockers, yeah.
Female country with a little
edge. That's good.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
That's a good list.
Yeah. I remember there's a story that, can we talk about the AGT experience? Is that all right?
Yeah,
is that okay?
I'm good.
Yeah. So they were really interested in you, and you were singing a Gretchen Wilson song that they didn't feel was age appropriate.
Yeah, there's that.
Read that woman. And she went ahead and rewrote it for you so you could sing it on AGT.
Yeah.
It still blows me away. Was your man like...
Yeah, I was freaking out. Yeah. Like, Gretchen Wilson. Rewrote the song for me.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing they did
so
that.
So cool.
When I heard Gretchen's voice coming over Brooklyn's phone... only a year ago, and her voice sounded like she was 28. I was blown away.
Wow,
like
she sounded so cool.
Yeah, she still
sounds
great.
Amazing.
Did you save that?
You know, I told her to save it somewhere, and she hasn't been able to find it. But
yeah,
that's so cool.
Hey, I got to meet up with her in person, so that kind of
you did.
It
worked. What was that like?
It was great. I watched her in her own writer's round with a couple of her friends, and they were all great. Uh-huh. They were fighting on stage, but it was fun to watch.
They're fighting on stage.
Bridget Tatum was there, and she was really funny, too.
Yeah.
Like, that whole crowd, because they're like the
original... Yeah, I got them all to sign one of my guitars.
Oh, that's good.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
They were the big country rockers, and they were all there, and they, you know?
Yeah, I love it. What an experience.
And we tried to get Scott to go that night.
Yeah,
I was like,
and I was booked. And so we don't talk about him much, but I have a little history with Gretchen. And though she doesn't, you know, that's a whole other story. But anyway.
But you played guitar in your band for a little while.
I did.
Yeah.
Keys and guitar for a little bit, way back in the beginning before she had a record deal. And and so, but she's a generational voice. She's got an incredible range that I rarely hear. And so, you know, being able to be around her, perform with her for a little bit and just to be around that, I was always just jaw dropping, even being on stage like right here next to her, she hit these notes that were just otherworldly, and I just was like, where does that come from?
I love her, she's awesome.
Yeah. And 4-hour nights, never sang out a key. It's incredible. The control of her voice is amazing. But the reason I say that it's generational, she did change sort of the trajectory of music for a little bit. And the first time in many years that I heard someone that reminded me of that ability or had that potential was Brooklyn.
Wow.
I had not heard that in
high praise
years. And there's a lot of talent out there. I don't want to downplay all the talent that's in this town. There's incredible talent.
Incredible.
But there's just certain elements of ability that some have, some don't.
God-given.
Yeah, God-given. Brooklyn has that, like Gretchen. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's why when I heard you sing, I thought, man, that sounds familiar. Mm-hmm. And it's got a thing. It's got a ring to it. And so that's why I feel it's generational. I feel for you, it's like the next potential generation where you'll change the trajectory of music. No pressure.
Thank you.
No pressure.
I mean, none of us know the future, but that's the first time I felt that
in
a long time working with many artists. Absolutely. You are very welcome.
Yeah,
Thank you for singing like that. Dang.
Thank you for complimenting me.
Absolutely.
We've got so much more to listen to. We've got some songs that we're going to play that you've recorded. But I want to take a break, and then we come back. We're going to take a little different direction. So stick with us. Just a real short break.
You're listening to The Songwriter Connection with Dave Linehan. Find us on Facebook and YouTube at The Songwriter Connection Podcast. And find Dave at thedaveconnection.com. Now back to the show with your host, Dave Linehan.
Brutal hot day here in Nashville, isn't it?
It's a little warm.
Is the air conditioner working okay for you?
No, pretty good. Pretty warm. It's okay.
It's like 100 degrees here in Nashville today. That's August. Yeah, it just turned August here. The day we're recording it. If you're listening on the day that it's released, it's September 20th. That's how far in advance we are now. It's which is a good thing. We're really happy to have Brooklyn Summer with us and Scott Barrier and Brooklyn's mom, Annie, who is just amazing. And I want to just remind you to hit that like and subscribe if you're listening, especially on YouTube, because it does help. We are distributed everywhere in the world by Red Circle. I don't mention them or thank them enough. But they're the ones that make it all possible. So, Annie, one of the things that you and I talked about recently, and I think about as a parent, if your child is into sports, okay, let's say they want to play hockey. Well, there's a lot of investment involved. You're talking about skates. They're not cheap. And you got pads and all that stuff. And you got to, there's a lot of time involved in taking the kids to and for the game. There's kind of an equivalency there to if your child wants to get into music, isn't there? It's not cheap, is it?
In fact, nobody knows this. I don't think I've even told Scott this, but we've moved four times.
Four times?
Four times.
Wow.
And Brooklyn's always lived in a middle-class neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
But we grew up in Silicon Valley. So when kindergarten started, her music lessons at 5 and a half, started at $135 an hour. So today, they're $250 an hour.
Wow.
And that's not recording music. That's not buying the new guitar. I mean, it's always
guitars aren't cheap either. Yeah.
But when she turned 14, everything changed.
It did.
Because now, I think she went from having a lot of fun to where she had to get really serious. Mm-hmm. And I think right now, we're trying to get back to fun. And kind of starting back to what brought you into country music to begin with.
I got you.
Because you start going down different lanes and trying all sorts of things. And it's like, wait a minute, but what do you love? And I think she's been thinking about that the last couple of weeks.
I used to run this broadcast school, Ohio Center for Broadcasting. And I always used to tell my students, find out what you're passionate about. Find what it is, because that's special to you. And that's going to be your niche. And if you find what you're passionate about and you invest in that with all your heart, you can't go wrong. And I think that is what you've done, Brooklyn, because I know that you're very passionate about your music and
I am.
in every aspect. And what I also love, Annie, as you mentioned, she is such a fast learner. And Scott can attest, because you've given her guitar lessons,
man,
right?
Man, really fast. You're one of the fastest retentions of melody I've ever seen.
Yeah,
you get it. I mean, I play it once, and you sing it back to me, and then you got it locked. It's incredible. That's
thank you.
That's talent.
Steel trap mind of yours. It's amazing.
We can't give up because she won't give up. And we would have thought in 9 years she would have given up or, got tired or I can't do this. Never. Her parents, we want to give up. But
she doesn't burn out, right?
But yeah. She doesn't burn out.
Right. That's good. Yes. And I hope you never do. Because you're having fun. I watch you. You look like you really have a blast
fun.
On stage.
Good. Yeah. I'm having fun right now.
Yeah. Good. I'm glad you are. Yeah.
Living the life. It's great.
Living the life.
Living the dream.
That's right. Well, let's play another song. You know, the other nice thing is, you talk about community, but you've had a chance to write with some really good songwriters, Lance and Michael Jay and Scott Barrier and Justin Love. But then there's Kirsty Manna. Kirsty Manna wrote the song Austin and has been on this podcast, her and her husband, Bill. And a guy that writes with Kirsty a lot, Billy D, I call him.
Oh, yeah.
Bill DiLuigi.
Yeah, Bill DiLuigi. Yeah, Bill D.
Bill D.
Bill. Yeah, Bill D.
Yeah,
he's great.
Yeah, he is awesome. And Erica Lazzo.
Love her.
You love her, too. So I want to play one of these songs that you wrote with Bill.
Cool.
You want to do Cowboy Killer or Kickin' It Country?
Well, since we started with Do It Now, let's just keep going back in time. So let's do Cowboy Killer.
Let's do Cowboy Killer. So tell us a little bit about this song.
You know, Cowboy Killer, yeah, I wrote it with Bill DeLuigi and Erica Lazzo.
And Erica, okay. People. Okay, yeah, yeah. And whose idea and how did
it go? No, it was originally Erica's idea. She has such great ideas.
She really does.
She's great.
And Blues on the Blacktop was her idea.
She lets you be mm-hmm. edgy, yeah. You know.
And she mm-hmm. does, and she has mm-hmm. that edge.
She's yeah. great.
She was recently the queen of the parade in Mount Airy at the Mayberry Festival. It was yeah. so cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
We got to get her back on the show. So we're going to do Cowboy Killer. So this is Brooklyn Summer on the Songwriter Connection Podcast.
It's raining on the pavement on a corner and shine. There's a lonely desperado with a lighter in his hand. They say the marble reds are gonna take him to his grave. But Cowboy Killer is my if I end up on a poster with a bounty on my head, let them lock me up because I dress to knock him down. That lipstick in my holster, well, that's the one smoking gun to blame. Cause Cowboy Killer is my name.
Well, cowboy killer. I'm glad I'm not a cowboy.
That needs a music video.
It does need a music video. Martin?
Let's talk.
I love Erica's backup so much on that song. She did so
good. Was that Erica singing in the
back? Yeah, it's Erica.
Wow, that is so great.
We just asked her today, can you be backup on every song?
Yes, absolutely. Book her.
Gorgeous. Book it. Gorgeous.
Yes. You know, in a lesson behind this song, it ends with a tag. And tag, Scott, explain what that is.
Well, there are a couple different types of tags. Sometimes they'll put one right at the end of a chorus, and they'll just have a little something else to say, just a little extra information, lengthens the chorus a little bit, gives a little extra spice or color.
I love that.
The other type of tag is you take something from earlier in the song and you tag it to the end of the song. It's a kind of an older style, traditional way of doing things. Mm-hmm. It seemed to work in this case.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes you're like, oh, you didn't need to do that at all. But those are the two forms of tags that people will use toward the end of a song.
Now, the next time you hear a tag, you'll know.
Yeah.
And think about it. For me, I love it when you've got a strong visual first line of a song. It's raining on the corner, Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good, it draws you in. Why not end the song with that? And you tagged it with that. And I like that.
Thank you.
Well done.
Erica was at our kitchen table yesterday, and she just has a book and a page. Uh-huh. Of all of these cool things.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, wow, these are good ideas.
Her
hookbook, yeah. I remember having her on the show, and we got to get her back on here real soon. She loves to use the tag, and she uses the tags a lot.
I want to hear about Blues on the Blacktop. Because
you do.
She's now singing this song wherever she goes. All of a sudden, it's her new favorite song again.
Oh, wonderful.
Well, good.
I always love this song.
It's a good one.
Yeah. Again, we sat around this dining room table with Erica and Scott and I.
Yes.
And Erica goes, I don't have this idea called Blues on the Blacktop. And she starts this jam, and we're going, like that.
Yeah, like that. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. She had a couple lines, and off we ran.
Yeah. So.
Yes.
Set me off like a copper top.
Whose line was that? That was amazing.
That was me.
Oh, that was you?
That was my line.
I thought that was me, too.
Yeah.
And well, like, keep those four
we co-wrote
chrome
it.
Wheels.
We did. We collaborated and came up to
chrome together. Wheels turning. Maybe that was a Scott Barry. That song's good, too.
Could be. We were trying to get those visuals. So yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's listen to that. It's Blues on the Blacktop, man. It's Brooklyn Summer. This is back when you were just, what, 12?
12.
You're 12.
Copper top kettle, ain't looking back to watch the dust settle. Gonna throw the hammer down, left foot on the pedal, and run like a wild desert Mustang, roll like a runaway freight train, ride like an outlaw renegade, drop the top down on the ragtop, drive with my back to the sunset, fly through the night till I forget, try to push the needle to the red, now run my blues on the black.
Yeah.
on the blacktop.
Brooklyn Summer, 12 years old at the time.
And with mono.
And with mono. That's right, as she recorded that, she was singing, not feeling well.
Yeah, amazing.
Oh my God, how did you get through that?
I managed.
You managed?
You know, I just plowed through it. I drove through it.
Yeah.
Yeah, tough.
I get nervous because I heard once you've had that, if you get really stressed out, it can come back through stress. But I'm like, it must not, because I can't imagine being under the stress you are and why you'd want to be.
Brooklyn, I'm just too cool for mono.
Brooklyn, has it been stressful for you these last 2 years?
You know, sure, it's been stressful, but honestly, if you just think of it like, you know, sure, it's stressful right now, but eventually it's just going to get less and less stressful, and it's just going to get more and more fun over time.
Yeah. Well, I hear you. What are the sources of stress? What stresses you out?
People.
Well, you know.
What do you ever do
here
you mean?
Here comes the no filter.
Well, that's okay. You know, I imagine when you see somebody in this town, it does take a community. It does. And we talk about all boats rise to that. But there are people that you get a little notoriety. So I want to be your friend. I'm gonna be your friend, and I wanna write with you. And right? You get that all the time. People wanna pull on your sleeve, come over here. Yeah. I want your attention.
Hey, let's be friends. Hey, can you get me into this place?
We should write sometime. Mm. Yeah. I want to play the local. I want to play the listening room. Yeah. And is that a source of stress? Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, Annie, you've had to change your number a few times, right?
I change my number every 6 months.
In my phone, I got Annie's new.
But
that's true. I've got that too. They're stacked in my phone as well.
Yeah. Well, you know, different numbers. People don't agree with me. And I've even heard Michael J. say, "You're her mother. You need to make the decisions." But I've always let Brooklyn make the decisions.
Good.
Believe it or not, she's never made a dumb, big decision since she was in kindergarten, literally. And if I make her decisions, and she doesn't say something wacky, she's never going to be happy if her mom's telling her what to do all the time. Yeah. I mean, I do tell her to practice. You know,
she nodded her head, so I guess she's agreeing.
Yeah. She won't clean her room. We know that.
She's like, yeah.
My mom, I got to practice.
But she does make good decisions. She's going to be a sophomore in high school a year and a half, maybe 2 years early. And
she's got
a B-plus average. And so I feel like she's doing so many things right.
Yeah, you are. And so are you. And Emergy, do you both work together on your socials? Because you are amazing on the socials.
It's her dad, too.
It's all three of you.
A team effort.
My twin brother, Jay.
Yeah. I didn't know he had it in him.
When he hears something, I don't know if everyone wants to hear this, but if you get a like, that's from dad.
Yeah.
If you get a comment, that's from Brooklyn.
Uh-huh.
If you see a really awesome story, that's me.
So now we know.
But lately, have you guys seen where she's running in like Tom Cruise?
Yes. Adorable.
That was funny.
And I told her, she's like, Mom, I'm kind of shy, but I have to be on social media. I'm like, well, let's just do it. So we're trying to do more.
Yeah.
And she's trying to talk a little bit more.
Do it now. So.
Oh, that had to be a blast. Tell me. You're doing old time rock and roll. That's great.
But I like Sliding she's finally them. Starting to make fun of herself a little bit, because that cuts the seriousness a little bit.
And that does translate well to an audience when you have fun, especially with...
Absolutely.
What's music without fun?
That's a very good point right
there. What did you say it was?
Boozic.
That's what you find at the honky-tonks downtown. So.
You know, she's been hanging around...
Boozic.
She's been hanging around Scott and Michael J. when she starts talking like this. Because we're like, her dad and I don't have that sense.
Yeah, we're a comedy show. It's true.
Either a very dry sense of humor, like, ooh, that's kind of mean. Or just really out there.
Weird and sarcastic. That's us.
Oh.
But I'm glad she's having fun. And I'm glad she can find people she loves and people she trusts outside of the family.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's really important. Yeah.
You're getting lots of offers now. People want to promote you. You're getting interest from big labels. I mean, one, I'm not going to say, but they're coming to watch you this weekend.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
No, that's good.
Are you nervous about that?
You know, I kind of, you'll always have a little bit of nervousness deep down, but at the same time, I'm like, yeah, this is pretty cool. This is pretty cool.
What I've always found, it's good to have a little bit of the nerves because it keeps you sharp. Makes you sharp.
Because you don't, you're going to suck.
Exactly right.
She's always said, I work better under pressure.
There you go. Yeah. Then you're in the right business.
You get a little bit of that adrenaline flowing. And you,
And I crack.
I'm focused. I'm more focused. And you just feel sharper, don't you?
I know. I feel like adrenaline, it kind of just makes you even more fun to watch on stage because you're still jumpy.
yeah. And you've really worked on your stage presence, haven't you?
I have been. I've been working on that.
Has anybody helped you with that?
My mom.
Your mom.
Oh, no, you're going to see cheerleader moves.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
You were cheerleader? That's great. Were
you? I was for a really long time.
Okay. Really?
All righty.
Doesn't surprise me.
It's kind of funny. Yeah.
I wouldn't do it without her.
And you know, I went through some of the same things Brooklyn did when she was little.
Yeah.
I remember making the USA cheerleading team, and nobody told me because everyone from high school, everybody wanted to make that team, you know, and nobody told me. So I didn't get to go to the initial tryout. But you see things like that with Brooklyn since she was in kindergarten at her first talent show. And those are the things that are hard to watch, but see her overcome it and knowing that she's been put through so much that I think she just lets everything go over the top of her head now. Mm. And I think she's got, like you guys, she has a small, close-knit group of people she can always come to. And, you know, I noticed she's coming back to that for writing. Mm. Like, you know, you can venture out a little bit, but she always comes back home, you know.
If you had any advice to up-and-coming writers in your 14 years of age wisdom. But you know, you've learned a lot in the past couple of years.
I've learned a lot from people.
What would you say? What would you tell them? Do it now?
Do it now and don't trust everybody.
Don't trust everybody. How do you know who to trust is what I want to know.
You don't.
You just have to.
You know, if it sounds too good to be true, it's too good to be true.
I agree with you there.
And that's another good point is taking your time, no matter who you are out there.
Yeah, because you know, like I'll know people for years, and like they'll say like, "Yeah, you want to sign this? You want to do this?" Like, I have to know you first, because like people change. People change,
and you see that over time. You see the patterns in people, and so nobody's perfect. You know,
nobody is perfect.
But still, you know, and that's why, you know, I heard that a lot when I came here was, you know, if you're looking at getting I was going to say in bed, that's probably not the thing. So if you're looking to sign a contract with some, like a major company, management, anything, I've heard it over and over, they call that slow dating. I think that's the funny way as somebody put it. But it's a dating process where you want to take your time to find out if it's really going to work in the long run. And if you do decide to go with them, if you're going to have a good relationship that's not going to be rocky and drama-filled.
True.
And also, I'm talking about the labels. I'm talking about the big management companies or managers.
Absolutely.
That the business relationships I'm talking about. And so you got to, like, take your time. I've been told by different people in the industry, it can be up to 2, maybe 3 years of going back and forth to really see if this thing is going to work and to see what the patterns are over that time. And you know, and rushing in just like love can be sort of a really bad end.
And I agree with you. And you know what? In 3, 4 years, 5 years, you're going to be just as talented more.
Yes.
Actually,
than
you are now.
Yep.
And so, you don't seem to be the kind that wants to rush it. That would rush into anything.
She doesn't rush anything. And we were talking the other day, and I told her, think about it like whenever you're on Broadway, you want to go to the ice cream shop.
Yeah.
You never know which ice cream to pick. So you take that little spoon, and you're like, can I have a bite of this one?
Yeah.
The next time she has a bite of a different flavor, and you just got
gotcha.
Well, that's exactly how you want to be with the major labels and the publishers and all that.
Yeah.
Yep, just like check them out, see if it's going to work, watch what they do over time, see if it still tastes a little sweet, and then you'll know.
Yep.
I think that's a great metaphor.
And then you'll find the perfect one, yes. Mint chocolate chip, and then you get it every single time.
That's right.
You need to find your mint chocolate chip. That's what you need to find. That's funny. You know, I remember interviewing...
No BS.
This is not BS. Yeah. I interviewed a great artist, and he went on to be really, really, really big. And but he was first offered his first deal when he was 15 years old. And he was living in California. He was into surfing, and he was a great guitar player, and he was playing a lot of clubs even before he was old enough to get in. And a big label came and offered him a deal. And his dad sat down with him and said, I know you want to do this, but I think you need to wait. And, you know, he said the same thing. I think in 4 or 5 years, you're going to be just as talented, probably mm-hmm. more than you are right now. And I think you're going to be better off just finishing school. Keep doing what you're doing, and if that dream is still alive then, and you still, you're going to get more offers, and you will. And he did, and he became a big star. I don't want to mention who he is.
But why not?
But Billy Lee, Billy Dee wrote it, one of his songs. But okay, so, but anyway.
Well, I mean, if we're talking about big stars, I mean, Cody Johnson's a great example where he really took his time until he was good and ready and felt like he was in a good position to call the shots on his career as well.
Yeah.
And so talk about really being patient. I mean, that was a lot of years.
Awesome. Yeah, he really is.
That he would not sign anything. He built his career the way he wanted it built.
Exactly.
Did the music he wanted to do.
That's right.
You know, and so... So a lot, I think a lot of people at some point were like, "This guy's never going to sign," and so would be my guess.
Yeah,
but eventually he did when he realized he had hit the top, everything he could do as an artist, and he was already famous out of Texas and all that. But to get
that to the next level,
that radio play and that bigger exposure, he knew it was time to sign. Yeah. But when he was ready, and that's way longer than anybody I've ever heard. Talk about patience and like doing it your way.
Look at him today.
I mean, yeah.
Just absolutely huge.
He's an award winner. He's one of the top on the charts.
And keeping it country, right?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so.
Every single bit of it.
Yeah,
Lainey absolutely. Wilson waited a long time too, and she was living in a trailer.
Yeah,
in
absolutely.
Somebody's backyard and just wouldn't give up and.
Yeah,
riding out the tornado, she said.
And so, so that's the whole point. Is here, there's no rush. Mm-hmm. You've already got the foundation. You've been doing this since you're five, really, realistically. Mm. And so, you've got a lot of time put in. You've been through the fire over and over again. So that's made you tough and ready for this business. But you don't have to rush.
You don't
have to rush.
That could be a good song.
Ooh. All right, well, hold on to it.
Been through the fire.
Nobody heard that. No, songwriters out there, we got it. It's ours.
You got it. You got
already,
it.
Already on it.
Yeah,
already
written.
We're writing it right now. By the time you hear this, it's already written.
Already done. Today.
Yeah. So this next song is Kicking It Country. We're going to kick it country for you. And another one with Bill DiLuigi, right? And was it Erica too?
That was Bill DiLuigi, Scott Barrier.
And Scott Barrier.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Tell us about this. Because you know what this is? I think this is so Brooklyn because it's got that 90s feel, but with a little edge.
I love 90s country.
And it's back, right? Yeah. And you've been playing this 90s country thing at the Live Oak here in Nashville. Hope. Yeah. Scott, tell us about this.
It was Bill's idea when we walked in, and he played a little bit, and we're like, really, really liked that. And so I really felt it reflected your personality anyway, because it's fun, it's light. We get a couple throws in there that are kind of funny in the lyrics. And it was
just a lot of fun to write.
It was fun to write.
Yeah,
it was fun. It was just one of those writes where it flowed out, and we were having a good time and laughing and coming up with crazy lines. So much fun.
And you have a lot of fun when you sing this live. I love watching you sing it live. So.
It's fun. It's really fun. Yeah.
All right, let's kick it country. It's Brooklyn Summer Songwriter Connection Podcast.
One time on, we got two steppers, long neck
that's some awesome guitar in that. Is that John Willis?
Yeah.
No, who's doing that?
You know what? Smith.
Who is it?
Smith.
Smith Curry.
Well, Smith did the steel.
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome.
Gosh, who was it? That's horrible.
Daniel's so bad.
Smith, it was Smith's guy.
It was Smith's guy. One of Smith Curry's A-list players that he hires.
Wow. We're blanking. His name is David.
I think David. So. I feel so bad.
Oh, that was me. David. I'm a David. Yeah, in my dreams. I love that. There's so many cool lines in that. There's everybody and their mother. Was that, were you thinking about your mom? Was that your line? Annie, you're in that everybody song. Did you know that? Mother.
All I know is that the best songs come out of a co-write they haven't been prepared for. And they've been really fast.
Yeah.
Because that one was fast.
You guys can grind sometimes, but it seems like the fast ones are like...
Yeah.
We were really feeling that one.
Well, there's Juliet. Juliet decided to join the podcast, my cat.
Another member of the...
The musical cat.
Yeah, the crew there here. Go.
I thought I put you away. Like out in the porch, you got out, didn't you? Yeah,
Juliet. Couldn't help it. Wanted to be in the middle of
it. It's all about Juliet. Yeah. So, anyway.
So, yeah, for kicking it country.
So, for kicking it country. She wanted to kick it country, too.
Yeah, kicking it kitty.
She, how come you didn't mention Juliet in that song?
Kitty's kicking it country.
Kicking it country. We've been kicking it country with Brooklyn Summer, Scott Barrier, Annie. So good to have you.
Thank you.
You guys rock.
Thank you so much.
I'm trying to coin the two things. I'm trying to coin the first. Barrier! Whenever Scott sings a song, I go, Barrier!
It's a thing.
And the other one, I'm your biggest fan. And they're Swifties, right? I'm a Summy.
Oh, that's so cute.
I'm a Summy.
Why not?
Or it could be like a brookie. Like, you know,
a brookie. You know, I'm a brookie.
Yeah, that awesome sort of brownie cookie thing.
I like that better. I'm a brookie.
Sell those.
That's why he's a songwriter.
What about a BSer?
A BSer, like both of Brooklyn Summer. BSer.
What's your tour going to be called?
The No BS Tour.
The No BS Tour. The only one BS is Brooklyn fun. Summer. Awesome. Thank you for joining us today, Brooklyn. All the best. Man,
thank
love you, girl.
Thanks so much for having me. Yeah.
We hope you enjoyed this intimate glimpse into the world of songwriting and found inspiration in the stories shared by our talented guests. Remember, the magic of music lies not only in the notes and chords, but in the emotions and experiences woven into every lyric. Until next time, keep listening, keep creating, and keep the melodies alive.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.